Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. I am Kim Ariano on this glorious fall day. Hi, Eric.
Hey, Kim. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you. Eric, our producer, is here with us as well.
Absolutely.
I love this time of year.
Autumn is a gorgeous time.
Oh, my gosh. It's great. And the weather's great. And it's nice outside. I was walking downtown Seattle. I haven't done that in a while. And
people often talk about New England falls, you know, with good reason. But I think the Northwest falls are underrated.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I love there's just something in the air. And we're sensing it and feeling it in business. People are just...
I want to be out in a pumpkin patch and picking some apples. Somehow they're in the pumpkin patch. I don't know, but I'd like to be out there doing that sort of thing. And
do you think it may be because people
cider.
Know what's coming? Do you think maybe that's it?
Maybe that's it. Yeah, they're just savoring every last moment of sunshine that they can before the winter kicks in and it's cold and rainy and wet for 6 months.
Well, we always plan a trip to the ocean this time of year because nobody's camping at the ocean. And every time we've gone here, I'm going to jinx it. And we're going in a couple weeks. Every time we've gone, it's been like this.
Nice.
And this is the best time of year to be out at the ocean when it's beautiful like that.
Yeah, when you don't have the crowds, it is nice.
Yes, exactly. Get in and get out. Well, we have a special guest with us today. We have Mark Hennig, and he is with an organization called Night on the Dark Trail. And we will be talking with him in just a minute. But before we go there, we wanted to let you know about some really great things that are going on with the organizations that are friends of Walk the Talk and Walk the Talk with Kim. One of which is our Girl Power Hour event. So we had Darnell Sue on with us a couple of weeks ago, and I'm going to the event, and it is tomorrow night. I'm so excited. And you can't get tickets online anymore, but you can get tickets at the door. And we're going to be at the Hyatt at the Bellevue area, sponsored by Verizon. And it's the fourth anniversary of Girl Power Hour. And it's going to be party during Fashion Week and the Bellevue Collection, and there's going to be swag. And she's thinking there's going to be about 800 people there. Women and men are going to both be at this event.
Wow.
So it's going to be pretty darn exciting.
Yeah, 800 people. That'll be a good turnout.
Yeah, that'll be a great turnout. And if you get there at the door and you pay your money and you're one of the first ones in, I think it's like the first 300 or so, maybe if it's less than that, get the swag bags. And if you've ever gotten a swag bag from Girl Power Hour, I mean, the value of those bags have got to be in the hundreds of dollars. They're incredible. So you should come down and join us. It'll be a really great fun event. I'll be there, although no idea if anybody would know who I am if they saw me because I'm on the radio.
True enough. But wouldn't they hear you talk?
Yeah, exactly.
So just introduce yourself to as many people as you can when you get there, and maybe one of them will be Kim.
Should I say, hi, I'm Kim with Walk the Talk with Kim.
Hey, why not?
But what better? People are going to go, what's that? And I said, oh, you should listen every Wednesday at 4 o'clock.
It's just an opportunity to network for you.
There you go. Yeah. Well, I'm going to take that opportunity and let all the people that already know about the secret that is the Walk the Talk with Kim show that we are looking for organizations, mission-driven organizations and organizations that focus on nonprofit to come on the show. So if you know of any, if you belong to any and you want them featured on the show, please definitely email at info@arianoconsulting.com. Or better yet, go to walkthetalkwithkim.com and you can input that information right there on the page. And if you are interested in sponsoring the show, if you love what we're doing and you want to get your name out there and associated with nonprofits, again, go to walkthetalkwithkim.com and fill out the I want to be a sponsor. And we'll give you a call and let you know about one of the perks and features of being on the show.
And you definitely don't have to be a nonprofit to sponsor the show.
Absolutely not. No, we have organizations that are for-profit organizations, but they're mission-driven. And I think we talk about mission-driven, but I should probably explain what a mission-driven organization is. Mission-driven organizations are organizations that aren't necessarily in it exclusively for the profit, although that's a big component of it, because obviously if we make profit in our organizations, we can grow our organizations and do more good. But typically mission-driven organizations are there for a higher purpose and reason. It's like a humanistic type of organization. So they might be for profit. For example, the show here is not a nonprofit show. But my mission is to make sure that we give a voice to nonprofit mission-driven organizations. So one of those mission-driven organizations I want to talk about specifically today is Delano's Coffee Roasters. And they don't sell coffee direct to the public, but you'll be drinking Delano's coffee at a lot of coffee shops across the Pacific Northwest, I dare say the world. And what's so great about Delano's is they have a mission of working with companies and working with farmers directly. So they don't go through middlemen. So these guys travel all over the world. They're invested in the farmers that they're working with. They make sure that they get fair wages and fair trade. And they are an exclusive coffee company. So they only offer the best beans, and they do all the roasting right here in the Pacific Northwest. If you want to learn more about Delano's, here's a really cool thing. They're being featured on CNBC tomorrow night at 6 o'clock Pacific time. And you're going to take a trip with Delano's Coffee through the jungles of Peru as the CNBC film crew visits their newest One Harvest Project coffee farm. And so you can learn about social responsible coffee. And I visited this organization, and I love them, and I love what they do. You walk into their offices, and they have a whole wall that's dedicated to all the children that they support. And it's all about that. It's more important than making money off the coffee for them. You can feel it. It's about making sure that they give a top quality product that people really, really want to drink, but they're doing it in a highly social, responsible way. And that's a mission-driven organization. And so we're very, very excited to tell you about that. And I'll have that information and more on the Walk the Talk with Kim website. Again, Delano's on CNBC tomorrow, September 29th, and they'll be airing it more. So if you miss it, you can watch it there. But if you go to Walk the Talk with Kim Facebook page, I've got the link listed there so that you can get more information to that, as well as the Girl Power Hour that's coming up. And so we want to shift gears here for a moment, and I want to welcome my guest, Mark Hennig. Mark is with an organization that is raising money for the local food bank. And the reason why I wanted Mark to come on the show is what they're doing for a fundraiser is so unique and exciting. And in talking with Mark, I can just hear his passion and his vision for this. And I wanted to bring him on because we do a service to a lot of nonprofit organizations that are out there that are looking for ways to fundraise that are a lot more creative, a lot more fun, get the community involved. And I think you've kind of hit the nail on the head here. So welcome, Mark. How are you?
Good afternoon, Kim. I'm doing fine.
Yay. Well, we're so excited that you're with us today.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here.
Yay. Yeah. So your organization, Night on a Dark Trail, what is it?
Well, first of all, I had to come up with a name, obviously, for the event. And I just thought that the word haunted had been so overused. So we kind of played around with that. And we thought that it's going to be a haunted trail. It's going to be out on a trail, obviously, as opposed to being a haunted house. So having some sort of imagery that evokes that, you know, a night on a dark trail, that it's mysterious, it would be a good way to go. And that's how we came up with the title on it.
So you're walking. So instead of going through a haunted house, you're walking in a wooded trail.
Yes.
Where things jump out at you behind trees, maybe.
Possibly. I don't want to give away the show.
Woo. Yeah. Kind of like, hopefully it's not like a Blair Witch thing where you actually don't see anything.
Yeah, not this year. No.
Not this year, maybe next year. So where did you come up with this idea?
Well, I've worked on some other haunted houses in the past. I have a background in drama. And Halloween has always been a holiday for me that's always been kind of fun. It's mysterious. It's you get to go out at night. You get to take on a little bit of a different persona and do some different things. So I thought that the Snoqualmie Valley was really ripe for having a October event and tying in with Halloween. And that's basically how we kind of, and then I approached the Parks Department, actually by kind of an unusual conversation. I was doing the Dog Days of Summer over down there and ran into Gwen and Elise from the Parks Department and said, hey, let's do a haunted trail. And they kind of looked at me and it's, in August? And I said, no, in October. And they said, like in a couple months? And I'm saying, no, I'm talking next year. We have a lot of planning, a lot of preparation.
So you've been working on this for over a year.
Yes.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. A lot of work, a lot of preparation, getting a permit to do it, trying to build the excitement, get people involved in it, build up a volunteer base. And it's been a very sharp learning curve, but mm-hmm. It's been fun.
So how far away is this trail from like Bellevue or Seattle?
Well, from Bellevue or Seattle, I would say that if you're going on I-90, they would take exit 25. So basically from downtown Seattle on I-90, it's 25 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
From here, let's say from Bellevue, you're exit 11, so it's a little bit closer. I would say probably most of our base customer base on this, so to speak, is going to come from around the Snoqualmie Valley. There are other haunted trails around the east side, around Western Washington, and probably that they would draw a base from, say, maybe no more than 10 or 15 miles away. However, if somebody wants to see what the competition is doing, mm-hmm. or they want to try a new different experience, they want to come out to the valley, then, you know, they just come to exit 25 and head towards Snoqualmie Ridge, and they're there.
Well, of course they would want to come out to the valley, because they can come out on a beautiful day and see the...
Or night.
Yeah. Or come out during the day and they can go and see our beautiful Snoqualmie Falls and
the train
and all that kind of fun stuff. And then at night, eat in our eateries and then go on the haunted trail.
I like that idea. Yes.
You can just make a whole day of it.
Yeah.
Fun for the whole family.
Well, and the other aspect of it, too, that we're promoting is that there is going to be a jack-o'-lantern festival. This is unique. It's... The top 10 places that do it across the country are all back in the New England states. One place started off doing it with 600 jack-o'-lanterns the first year. The next year was 1,200 jack-o'-lanterns. Last year, I think they had around 22,000 jack-o'-lanterns.
Oh, my gosh.
We're not to that point yet. Maybe next year. But we're going to be working on that as well.
So we're going to take a break. But when we come back, we're going to talk more about Night on the Dark Trail. But in the meantime, where can people go to get more information?
They can go to nightonadarktrail.weebly.com. And we also have, if they are on Facebook, we have a Facebook page.
And that's going to be October 28th from 7 to 9 p.m.
Correct.
Excellent. Well, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more with Mark. We're going to talk more about the event. And then also, Mark has an interesting profession. And we're going to talk a little bit about what he does, because it's very near and dear to my heart. Talk about mission-driven organization. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. I am Kim Arellano, and you're listening to Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Red-eyed cows it saw came rushing through the ragged skies, and up a cloud it drove. Yippee-yay! Yippee-yay-o! Ghost riders in the sky.
Hi, I'm Jerry Pearson. And with my wife, Michelle, we're local residents just like you who have a passion to help those who have been harmed or wronged in our communities. If you have a personal injury from a car crash or a property hazard, an industrial injury, a defective product, or nursing home neglect issue, the Pearson Law Firm can help you anywhere, anytime. Contact us today for a free case evaluation at 1-800-423-8473. That number again is 1-800-423-8473. Or check us out at walkthetalkwithkim.com.
There's an exciting new astrology hour, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. with Deborah Silverman. Deborah's unique blend of psychology and astrology turns planetary language into plain English. Join us for an interactive hour that's guaranteed to give you personal insights in a fun and entertaining way. Tune in to Deborah Silverman Live. Whatever your life question, marriage, job, family, relocation, or just curiosity, call for a live reading Tuesdays at 5 p.m. and visit Deborah's website at DeborahSilvermanAstrology.com.
Have you heard the phrase, "The beatings will continue until morale improves"? To organizations, employees are the biggest assets and biggest fans. If they're not feeling heard or appreciated, the bottom line will suffer. For mission-driven organizations, the reliance on employees and managers to rally around the core messaging is critical for success. At Walk the Talk for Success, we provide leadership best practices, education, and communication strategies for mission-driven organizations. Whether you're a business of one, middle manager, or leader in a large company or nonprofit, our experiential workshops and focused on organizational psychology will assist you in achieving success with your messaging and vision. Call for a free consultation today, 425-888-9790, or check us out at www.walkthetalkwithkim.com.
Walk the Talk for Success, achieving your message through understanding human behavior.
There's nothing else like it on the dial. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Rising up a cloudy draw. Yippee-yay-yay, yippee-yay-o. Ghost riders in the sky.
You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim, and I have never heard that song so slow before.
There's about 100 different covers of Ghost Riders in the Sky. And there's actually a website that's just dedicated to accumulating all the different versions of it. But when you talk about a haunted trail,
you got to
talk about the Ghost Riders.
Absolutely.
In the sky.
So we're back with Mark Henning. He is the producer, I should say, and founder and brainstorming guy around a fundraising opportunity that he's doing for the Mount Si Helping Hands Food Bank. Can you tell us a little bit about the organization that you're supporting?
Well, the Helping Hands Food Bank, and part of my connection going back with them is started about 2-3 years ago. There was an opportunity to be a driver for them on a Friday. So I originally started out Friday picking up groceries at QFC. They had recently passed the Good Samaritan law so that the grocery stores could turn food over to the food bank. And so I was picking that up and doing my small part to run the groceries over there. And even at that time, I was talking about maybe doing some kind of a connection between Halloween and a food bank, and didn't really per se get off the ground at that time. But I kept in contact with them and kept talking with Heidi, the manager, and also Krista down there about doing something. And then this opportunity came up last in August a year ago to go ahead and move forward with this and then use them as a recipient for this. They're like a lot of other organizations that are helping people right now with budgetary cuts, that they are scrambling to find resources and money to keep their programs viable. And with the economy being down, they probably have a lot more people that are using their services than may have used in years past. So it's a nice way to help out our neighbors and help out the community, help those people along so that they can have a full life like everybody else, I guess to say.
You know, what I love about this story is when I talk with nonprofits, organizations mm-hmm. specifically about fundraising,
right?
You're the first person I've ever had on that isn't anything but a local community person who had an idea and said, I want to do this for you. Okay. And that doesn't happen very often, but I think it would happen more if people would be inspired kind of by your, if you've got a passion, you love drama, you love Halloween,
Yeah.
You know, how can I go out there and do something that I think is going to be really fun and exciting? And, oh, by the way, it helps our community. I mean, that's very, very inspiring. What would you tell people that, you know, might be driving in their car right now, or might be thinking, oh my gosh, that sounds like a lot of work, or oh my gosh, I could never do anything like that. What would you say somebody who would say that to you?
I would say it is a lot of work. You have to be a little crazy. That certainly doesn't hurt a bit. The other aspect of it is, what else are you going to do with your time here on the planet? Do you want to do something where you're having a good time, you're working with other people, helping other people? Just want to make lots of money, and then whoever ends up with the most toys wins. I don't subscribe to that philosophy. I just think that we need to kind of push away from the computer and get involved with other people in the community. And I guess what I go by, one of my sayings is that you need to have compassion and you have to have passion in life. So what the thing is to find out how to utilize those in your community, finding something locally that you enjoy doing that's fun, and then share with other people doing it.
Mm-hmm. What has been the most fun about this project?
Well, several things have been fun about it. I mean, planning it out like, oh, yeah, let's do this. Let's put this on. This will really scare them, or this will be fun to do out in the trail, or this ties in with Star Wars, or this ties in with Lord of the Rings. Yeah, this would be so cool. But I think the other thing which has been fun is working on this and facing an obstacle and saying, oh, there's no way we're going to get around. How are we going to get past this? Or what are we going to do? And it's meeting people along the way on the journey to getting this done, that they've come in and they say, oh, I can do costumes, or I can help you with the sound, or we can do this aspect of it, or I know somebody can do this. And meeting those people and working with them and getting to know a lot of new people in the community. And that's just, I think that's been such a kick.
So it's a true community event.
Oh, yeah. We have people across the Snoqualmie Valley that are working on this. We have one cast member that's 10 years old.
Mm.
We have another one that's in a wheelchair that's 77 years old.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And how many people, I know you told me, but I was amazed by this. Thousands of people. The whole town of Snoqualmie is participating in this
Everybody,
event.
Everybody's going to be there. No.
You don't know who to try. We're actually zombies out in the Snoqualmie Valley. It's actually a plot to lure you in so we can have our brains. Yeah. But it should be a lot of fun.
It
right?
Yeah. Yep. We're hoping so. Yeah.
So how many people are in the cast?
Well, we've got about currently, because it keeps growing, we've got about 36 performers. Now, when I say 36 performers, Ignite Dance and Yoga is providing us with about 30 plus dancers.
Mm.
So Katie Black has been working.
If that's not enough to scare you.
Yeah. And she's been working exclusively with the dance number. So that's a whole different part of the show. I know they're going to do it, and I know I'm providing lights and sound for it, but I haven't seen what they're doing yet.
I could guess, but I'll probably be wrong. But that sounds like a lot of fun. So it's on the 28th from 7 to 9 p.m.
Uh-huh.
So it's going to be this year and a half for 2 hours of madcap action.
Why not?
Oh, my gosh. That sounds like a lot of fun. And so for the jack-o'-lantern piece, is this for people that like to carve, for people that or what is the jack-o'-lantern show? What is that?
Well, that's a community effort. We're throwing that open to the public, and the idea is for them to carve up a jack-o'-lantern or to have a painted jack-o'-lantern. Those are a lot. Those are popular in the recent couple of years. And then they can bring that over to where it is, where we're doing this off of Douglas Street between, say, 3 and 6. We would appreciate it if they would provide an electric tea candle, because the fire department says no on any kind of flame.
We can't put flame in the forest.
Yeah,
that's not good.
Oh, nay. Yes.
Can't do that.
So anyway, they would bring over the jack-o'-lantern. We will set that up as part of the display around there. And then that is open to the general public. That's probably part of it that's going to be more, I should say the little kids, you know, children that are younger than fourth graders, that would be a section where they could come and enjoy that and go through the hay maze and see the jack-o'-lanterns. And I think just visually for anybody to come out there and see, hopefully a community-supported jack-o'-lantern display is just going to be spectacular.
So if you're into that fall time kind of stuff anyway, but you're not into the haunted house aspect or the haunted trail, there's still, you can go there and hang out and check out the jack-o'-lanterns and hang with the kids. It's still fun.
Oh, yeah. And the thing with if you look at what's gone on with pumpkin carving over the last, decade or so, we've broken away from doing the traditional face on it. You see a lot more people will do artistic designs and a variety of different subject matters that are not connected with Halloween, but they're using the pumpkin as a medium for the art.
So this is going out to my friend Brett. If you're out there listening, we expect a pumpkin from you. This guy goes all out, and he has a Dremel toolkit that is specifically for his pumpkin carving, and he has tools, and it's amazing what he comes up with on these things. So that should be fun. And then are you awarding a contest, or is it just for people to come and check it out?
We're still working on that. I'm trying to get the local orthodontist involved, because I know that he does a kind of a jack-o'-lantern festival with all the area dentists. So I've gotten the word to him. And I don't know if he's gotten the word yet or not, but we're trying to get him involved in that, because I know he is very community oriented.
Yes.
And Rimlinger Farms is donating a bunch of pumpkins to us. One of my customers works at T-Mobile. I'm working to see about getting them some pumpkins for carving, and to other people to do some pumpkin carving. I'm not going to have the time to do it.
Yeah, no, you don't want to be doing the pumpkin carving.
No.
But that still sounds like a lot of fun.
Yes.
Yeah, that's going to be great. And so with this event of walking through the trail, you made mention it's not really for little kids.
No, it's parent advisory. And someone says, well, yeah, what about the small children? And I said, well, that's like having a middle school dance. You're not going to invite second graders to a middle school dance. You're certainly not going to issue a driver's permit to a five-year-old. And the thing of it is, and I found this out from my own experience, they don't stay five forever. They're going to, before you know it, be walking down that aisle and picking up their diploma. And
you can stop now if you'd like. My son's six. He's turning seven 2 days before your event. So, they grow way too fast.
He can have him come and look at the pumpkins. Because I know that the little kids, when they've seen that, when they've seen the jack-o'-lanterns, they get a big kick out of that.
My daughter, I know, is going to be fine. She's never had any challenge with any of that. And she's nine, so going on. So she's in fourth grade. So I think that's a good age for her.
Yeah.
And her dad's great about that. I'm not into the spooky, scary stuff because I have enough anxiety as it is, let alone things jumping out at me. So me and the boy will probably hang back and be happy with the happy pumpkins and the...
Well, we have people working on the project that are helping out with the event. And they said they're very strong supporters helping out. And they said, we're not going out on the trail. And I said, come on. No, we're not going out on the trail. And I said, okay.
Well, I grew up in the area. And I remember as a little kid, I had to go out to the barn and feed the horses. And in the wintertime, it is dark.
Oh, yeah.
It is dark. And I don't think kid ever run so fast between the house and the barn as I used to run. And even as an adult, I move pretty darn quick to get out to that barn because there's so much in the woods that can get you.
Well, we're utilizing what's out there in the Snoqualmie Valley, I guess to say, for some parts of the show.
Yeah.
And we have some things that it's not the traditional gore, I guess, with a lot of haunted houses. But I think there's a couple of things that we have to offer that will get a real rise out of people. Yeah.
Wonderful. And where is it? You said exit 25, but where do people go or do they need to go there?
If they're coming from I-90, exit 25, which is Snoqualmie Parkway, and they would come, they would be heading north on Snoqualmie Parkway, and it kind of crests and then it kind of heads down towards Snoqualmie Ridge. And there's a light there, and that is Douglas Avenue to the left or Douglas Street to the right. And on the right is the Snoqualmie Police Station. So anybody gets out of line, it's a short hop to the police station.
Yeah, but I know the chief down there, so just give me a call.
He's a nice guy. Yeah. So anyway, they turn right there. They go past the police station. They go past about three buildings, and then there's a vacant lot. And I think the thing that'll be a giveaway, and that's Douglas Street. There's going to be a bunch of jack-o'-lanterns out there in a field and a hay maze. That'll be sort of...
Okay. Yeah. Oh, you're doing a hay maze, too. I didn't even see that part.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah.
I was just going to say the joke about a blonde in a hay maze, but I won't do that because I stopped myself. So, but that's a great joke.
I know it's a great joke, but I'll say it off the radio. I'll tell people about it off the radio.
It's on Facebook all over the place. Okay. Just do blonde hay maze, and I think love my blonde friends. I'm not blonde. You guys have more fun than me anyway. That's your revenge. So for people that are in like the Covington area, it's 15 minutes away. For people that are in Issaquah, it's 15 minutes away. Even for people in Redmond and Falls City, it's just right up the hill, so it's not very far. So we encourage folks to come and have a great time with us. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more with Mark Henning, and we're going to talk about his organization, his mission-driven organization that he belongs to. And there's a hint, it has to do with puppies. We'll talk to you soon and come back to Walk the Talk with Kim on Alternative Talk AM 1150.
Hi, I'm Jerry Pearson, and since 1977, we at the Pearson Law Firm have guided individuals and their families through the legal process to seek justice and restitution in insurance disputes and personal injury claims. At the Pearson Law Firm, we work hard to secure justice in civil matters with a network of resources, a wealth of experience, and a compassionate attitude. That's the Pearson Promise. Contact us at 1-800-423-8473. That's 1-800-423-8473 for a free case evaluation. Or check us out at walkthetalkwithkim.com.
Have you ever wondered why things are the way they are? I'm Ernesto Amaya, host of Pondering Life's Mysteries on 1150 AM KKNW Alternative Talk, Mondays at 5 p.m. Join me in an ongoing discovery and dialogue about consciousness, quantum theories, dreams, and Uranian astrology. Let's talk about the great beyond and understanding the marvels and mysteries in this so-called thing of life. Mondays at 5 p.m. on 1150 AM KKNW Alternative Talk.
Hello, this is Kim Ariano of Walk the Talk with Kim. The reality is staggering. South Africa has one of the highest incidences of HIV/AIDS in the world. This fact results in millions of orphans left in the care of other family members, friends, or fending for themselves in child-headed households. Focus on Katemba offers orphans and vulnerable children a new direction in life through loving foster care homes with committed parents and a real opportunity for a good education. Please consider sponsoring a child to receive the needed stability to change their world. Go to katembakids.org or follow the links from walkthetalkwithkim.com.
Don't forget, this is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim, and oh my gosh, what band was that? Don't tell me. Wait. XTC?
That's right.
Yeah! Ding, 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 ding. I haven't heard that band forever.
Tell her what she's won.
Yeah, what have I won? Anything?
You get to continue doing the show.
Oh, awesome!
For the next half hour.
Oh, yay! Got a half hour. Yay! Lucky me.
Or 25 minutes.
25 minutes or so. Yeah, a little bit less than that. Well, welcome. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. We are talking with Mark Henning. And we are talking about Night on a Dark Trail that is happening on the 28th. And Mark, who are you looking for? Are you looking for people to come? Do you need more volunteers? Do you need donations? Anything like that from the listening folks?
As a matter of fact, yes. Yeah, we're open for we're not charging admission to the show, but what we are asking is a $6 donation. And that is to cover, we do have some few costs. We're trying to cover those with hitting up Value Village and a couple other places for clothing and stuff like that. So we're on a shoestring budget this year. We'll get by on that. That's fine. But the donations, the profit does go to the local food bank, to the Mount Si Helping Hands. So $6 is a suggested donation. We're open to having you drop a $100 bill in our lap if you want to do that as well. That's fine.
Are you talking to the listener? You don't look at me. You're talking to
No, not you. Not you.
This is my donation.
I was looking at Eric.
Yeah,
kind of
Eric there. But, yeah, look at Eric.
He's turning away from me right now.
No.
We also need, we have a wonderful woman, Shannon Smith, that stepped up to do our costume design. And she works out there with the credit union. That's her straight job. Mm. And she's doing the costumes. And she's asked, she says, I need some more, I need some help. If you know anybody that's that can do straight stitching. And I said, okay. I'll put the word out on that we need some more tailors or seamstresses. And I'm looking for some tall people. I need about four people yet that are quite tall, that don't mind wearing black and carrying kind of like a lightsaber on the trail.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay. So you need tall people.
Tall people. Mm-hmm.
And you need seamstresses or somebody to do
tailors.
To help do some sewing.
Yeah.
Cash is always good.
Jack-o'-lanterns.
Jack-o'-lanterns.
We need jack-o'-lanterns.
You need people to carve jack-o'-lanterns.
Need them to carve if they want to carve a jack-o'-lantern and bring it. And barring all of that, just to come to the show on Friday night and enjoying the fun and be an audience member.
Well, I really applaud what you're doing. I think that it is a real boon and a humbling pleasure to have someone in the community who steps up and say, hey, this is something I want to do and be able to enlist as many people. How does it feel that this is actually coming down to reality?
Scary. I've had some intrepidation about it. I mean, there have been some times where I've felt that, you know, things were not necessarily going to come, you know, some kind of a hurdle came up and it's like, okay, it's not going to happen. Or I lost my, I guess to say my faith.
Will
to live. And that's been the beauty of working and meeting so many of these people, because they've really buoyed up my spirits on this. I'm not trying to make a pun there, obviously, but they have really kind of kept me going, because I kind of feel like I can't let them down. You know?
Right. Oh, it'll be a blast, and I'm really excited that you came on the show to talk about it today. You know, I wanted to talk with you a little bit more about what you do, because what's fascinating about what you do is you didn't start out life. You said you were a teacher.
Among other things.
Among other things. But what is your profession? What do you do?
I switched over to being first a pet sitter, and then about 4 years ago we expanded out, and so now we have a dog boarding facility, and we take care of dogs for people when they go on vacation, for doggy daycare, other things where they get called. One of our customers was a deputy with King County Police, and he had to go down and pick up a felon in LA, and he called us on a Thursday, and the dog came over on a Friday to stay with us for the weekend.
That's awesome. And so talk about, we've talked a little bit about motivation, mm-hmm. about doing what you love and your passion and making it happen.
Right.
I'm sure that there are a lot of listeners on the show that would love to set up their own, you know, to quit their lives and just have a doggy daycare. But you do something. It's not just a boarding facility. I think what is really beautiful about your setup out there, because I've seen it, is it's really a home.
Yeah.
You've opened your home. You know, it's not like you're putting them out in a kennel where they're not able to be around other dogs, that you have a facility for them to come and they interact. And it's you just basically have opened up your home for these dogs. What made you decide that that's what you wanted to do?
Well, I had, aside from being a teacher, but I also worked for national companies that were purchased up by international companies. I've done several different types of outside and inside sales. So I've done several years of sales. And we kind of reached a point where we wanted to do some sort of a business, home-based business in the community rather than working for a huge conglomerate. We wanted to do our own thing. And as we looked into this, we looked into different things. This was very appealing because we like dogs. We like helping out people and taking care of their dogs around their vacation. So there is that feeling that you are providing a service for people. The dogs that come and stay with us are very, you know, they're very entertaining. They're fun to be around with. And like Joanna says, she says, I love my job because first thing in the morning is I go out there and all my customers come up and give me a kiss.
I know. What other organization gives you that? And you say you are talking about Joanna, your beautiful wife,
yes,
my friend.
Yes, that is true. That is true. Uh-huh.
And her punishment for not being here today is we get to talk about her.
I love that. I love it. Yeah.
And she can't defend herself.
No, she can't. It's a long drive in.
It is a long drive. Although you have to go home to her and I do not.
During rush hour traffic. Well, she won't. She may not hear it right away either. So I don't know.
Oh, okay. We'll see. I have a feeling she is listening, but
yeah.
Just in case, Joanna is she was an accountant, wasn't she?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. She was she worked in Preston. She was a CFO for a company there mm-hmm. in Preston, and she decided to jump ship with that, so to speak. And we figured out by that point that the business was growing big enough that she could take a very active role in it as a partner in the business. So that's what we're doing now.
And why pet sitting?
It just appealed to us because of, we liked, I guess, to say working with animals. It's getting you outside. It's involved locally in the community. It does utilize some of my sales background, I guess, to say. It does, I don't know if my drama comes in there or not. Certainly working with the dog sometimes it seems that way. But it just seemed like a fun thing to do. I don't know that I would recommend it to somebody that has not developed a business plan and doesn't have cash reserves, because a lot of startup businesses, the first year, it's going to be real slim. And unless you have a second source of income or cash reserves, you're going to have some serious problems. So we didn't jump into it lightly. We had some cash reserves. We decided that this is what we wanted to do. A lot of times during that first year, it's like, have we gone completely nuts? This is crazy. And now that we're going, like I say, with the kennel, we're going into fourth year now. We had been getting recommendations from vets. We have a very good standing with the vets in the community, but we are getting more and more of people that are coming to us from personal referrals from people that already have their dogs with us.
And so part of your service is the dogs come with you, but you also go out into the community and take care of their animals at their house as well.
Yes, bearded dragon lizards, birds. I had one time I was covering for a goose.
How much does one charge for goose care, or one pay for goose care?
That was an unusual circumstances. That was a couple of years back, and she was actually outside of the coverage area, and I was very upfront with her, and I says, you know, it's going to take me a while to drive there to take care of your animals. So I said, I'm not trying to be a mercenary, but the only way I can justify it in terms of a time and motion study is I got to have to charge double. And she goes, oh, okay. And it turned out it was a cat. The cat was staying indoors, and I'm sitting writing notes on the phone. I said, okay, you got the cat. And then she says, I got Myrtle the turtle. Myrtle the turtle. Okay. And she's telling me about that. I said, okay, so you got the cat and the turtle. She goes, oh, and there's more. And I said, more? And she goes, yeah, there's Pavarotti, the goose. And it's like, is this a joke call or what? I said, okay. So I talked a little bit more. And I said, and at this point, then I'm going, and there's more? And she goes, oh, yeah, there's the rooster. And his name is, I can't remember the rooster's name. And I said, okay, so there's a rooster. Uh-huh. And then she says, and two chickens. And I said, and their names? And she says, oh, they don't have names. And I said, okay.
Their dinner. That's dinner, their names.
Right. And then she said, then there was a horse. And I said, okay. So I went over. We went through the routine of meeting all the animals and discussing the routine and everything. And she said, well, normally my friend comes over and takes care of the horse. And I said, well, why isn't your friend handling it now? And she says, oh, she's afraid of the goose. And I went, yeah, okay. Uh-oh. So real quickly here, what happens? A goose comes up to me. I'm out there walking along, and he's trailing behind us, and he's honking. And he comes up, and he grabs my pant leg. And I turn around, and I look at him. It's like, okay. And she says, do you know much about geese? And I said, no, not really. And she says, well, their olfactory nerve is in their bill. And so he's smelling you, and he's getting your scent. And I said, okay, well, you know, that's the other thing that's kind of fun about this job. I get to learn all these new aspects of animal behavior and husbandry and everything else.
Uh-huh. Geese are mean.
Yes, they are.
Did you learn that from Pavarotti the goose?
I went over there, and I had to change his water, and I always had not that I hit him with it, but I always had a shovel for my own protection just to keep him from, he would come at me, and it's like, I can see why her friend was afraid of this guy.
Oh my gosh, geese are horribly mean, and the thing that it was, because our neighbors had geese,
uh-huh.
And the thing that always cracked me up, but where they get you is not biting you, they use their elbows on their arms as weapons.
Yeah.
They get it right to the face, their wings, and that crook in their wing, they come right at you and they hit you on both sides of the head or in your nose with that wing.
Well, then you also have to watch out in the case with the rooster, because they have spurs and they'll come up and they'll spike you. And I had that years ago, not related to this business, but I had that happen to me. And that bird almost was dinner that night, but it wasn't my bird, so I couldn't do that.
You should charge her triple for hazard pay on that job.
Yeah.
Ah, that's great. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to ask Mark to share some funny stories about his adventures of having a dog kennel. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim on KKNW AM 1150. Jerry
and Michelle Pearson of the Pearson Law Firm are local residents just like you who have a passion to help those who have been wronged in our community. If you have a personal injury, automobile accident, property hazard, industrial injury, defective product, or nursing home neglect issue, award-winning Pearson Law Firm can help anywhere in Washington. Contact them today for a free case evaluation at 800-423-8473. That's 800-423-8473, or check them out at walkthetalkwithkim.com.
Hi, this is Julie Forbes. Join me on Wednesday afternoons from 2 to 3 p.m. for the Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. Listen to discussions on dog-related topics and call in to voice your opinion or ask my opinion about your dog. We will talk about everything from dog behavior to pet food to dog training programs in prisons. The Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. Tune in Wednesdays from 2 to 3 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150.
Remember the pink tow truck? It was a Seattle icon. But did you know the mastermind behind the marketing was also one of Seattle's successful entrepreneurs? Learn life lessons from Ed Lincoln by reading his new autobiography, Life Through the Rearview Mirror. Available at area bookstores and online, go to walkthetalkwithkim.com and click on the link.
Bringing you fresh perspectives every day. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim, and as always, we have to thank very much our sponsors, the Pearsons. Expect expert representation and a kind, compassionate attitude. That is the Pearson Promise. We love our relationship with the Pearsons, and we're very excited for their success and very, very thankful for sponsoring the Walk the Talk with Kim show. Again, if you have any suggestions on who you'd like to hear on the show, please do go to walkthetalkwithkim.com and you can put in your suggestions, or you can always go to Facebook at Walk the Talk with Kim on Facebook and put your suggestions in there. And if you want to sponsor the show and come on and talk about your organization and talk about the great things that you'd like to see happen or that you are involved with, we're always looking for wonderful sponsors like the Pearsons and Pearson Law Firm. So thank you for coming. And thank you for joining us today, Mark. This was great.
We're back.
We are back. So you decide to build this dog kennel or this dog facility and put a lot of money
boarding,
and effort.
Boarding facility.
You don't like to call it a kennel?
We don't want to, yeah, because that just conjures up sort of the wrong image, I guess. So it's we call it a boarding facility, and mm-hmm. the area the dogs come in, one of our friends was actually, he was doing most of the building on it, and I was the carpenter's assistant, and his wife comes up and she says, so this is sort of like a pooch porch. And then we go, yes, this is now the pooch porch. And then we walked inside and we said, and these are the executive suites.
So, yes. Yeah. And they are like that too. How many dogs do you have on any given day?
They're kind of in constant motion, so it's hard to say counting them all, but we'll probably take on, we try to limit it to no more than 9 dogs a night.
Mm-hmm.
One occasion we had 2 Yorkies and they were quite small. In fact, the female was shorter than my shoe, and they arrived with their own little playpen and a carrying crate. And they came in, they stayed in the house in the TV room because they were used to doing that. And that it's like our dog's in the house anyway, so who cares? Not a big deal. And they were delightful company and they were good for the endorphins and everything. We'd sit there.
Yeah,
and get
them. Yeah. Sweet. Do you have your own dogs?
Yes. We have a Cocker Spaniel named Peaches. And she has issues, so she kind of stays in the house once in a while. And then we have a grand dog, Lily, that she's a miniature Dachshund. And it was funny one time because she's out there and she was wrestling with a Labradoodle. It's so funny because here's this great big Labradoodle, you know, and he's going, and then she goes, and they were going at it for an hour. And I'm at the computer, and all of a sudden it's like, it's too quiet in here. And I turned around and they're both crashed out on the sofa.
Yay. Yeah. So what's your favorite part about those dogs besides getting up in the morning and having all
that's
your customers
not my
love you?
That's Joanna, not your favorite part? No, I get up before she does, and it's like, Mark, we got to go outside now.
Oh.
So I get up there.
Oh, so she gets them after they've done their business and are ready to be social. You get
you
them when
it.
They're at the... Ah,
you got it, yes.
Okay, so that's not your favorite part.
In the morning, I was like, ooh. It's like, okay, I'm up. I'll get, you know, open the door. We want to go outside now. And it's like, okay. So I get them all outside. And it's like, thank you. And it's like, yeah, now that I'm awake, you know, let me get some coffee. And then they get fed. And then Joanna comes out and greets them all. And they all give her, you know, so she gets to get the kisses and the hugs and I've, yeah.
So tell me about a more memorable guest.
Oh, well, there's, we'll mention this one by Boo, and actually Boo and Piper have come and stayed with us. I'm not going to give they'll know who they are, obviously, but
Boo and Piper will know who they are. Yes.
They'll know who they are and the owners will know who they are. They're actually great people. And, Boo is a black lab. And when she came there, she was maybe about 9 months old. And honestly, it's like they gave this dog triple shots of espresso before it showed up there. And I was inside and the door was open. Boo comes running in. There's another dog there. She proceeds to go sailing over the top of this other dog, hit the sofa, bounce off it, and then run outside again. And it's like, what in the world was that? And the other thing is that, there, you know, when we have hot weather, like the 3 days we had this month.
The 3 days we've had all year. Yeah.
Hottest day of the year is in September this year. What does that tell you? So anyway, we set up a kiddie pool. And Boo, again, I'll pick on Boo, but she'll go up there in this kiddie pool and she'll sit there and run around in circles for 5 minutes. And I'm sitting there watching this like, this dog is crazy, you know. But she's having a good time and doing that, you know. So, I mean, we have some dogs that come through that are like, Mr. Mellow. And others, there's like Boo. It's like, hey, where's the party? They're just wired for sound. So we get all different types. We got one that's there now, Arthur. He's like the Tim Conway routine of little old man. It's like, oh, and he's, you know, moves along really slow. So we get to see all kinds of, you know, the dogs have as well established a personality, maybe more so than you and I do.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm working on some stuff in relation to the Walk the Talk for Success that has to do with personalities and animals and personalities with people and coaching and dog training and all that stuff. So I'm going to use you, I think, a little bit. So don't be surprised if I call you and say, hey, do dogs have specific personality types? And what do you think?
That there are some that are very outgoing and there are some that are very shy. There are some that, well, we have some dogs that have come through there that, I guess, like people, that something has happened and that they have aberrant behavior. And it's just like, you know what? In this setting, it's not going to work for us or for your dog to be in this setting. We have some that are just, it's like, hey, you know, they want to, it's like, okay, pet me. I want to play, but, you know, get away from me sort of thing. And then others that it's like they just want to be there. They're just lovers. They want to be sitting in your lap all day long, which is kind of hard with Tux. That's probably about an 80-pound or a bigger black cross between a black lab and a boxer. And one time I'm at the computer and he got up in my lap and it's like, okay, Tux, I like you, buddy. I really do. You're really great. But, you know, having an 80-pound dog sitting in my lap while I'm at the computer just doesn't cut it.
Somebody hasn't learned boundaries.
No.
Hasn't had to learn boundaries, evidently.
No, he's a sweet dog. He's big, but he's extremely sweet.
What do you think people need to know when they're looking for a place to either kennel? I mean, what makes the decision for somebody whether they want to have somebody come to their house or whether they want to take a dog to a boarding facility?
Okay. Well, I know when we were getting this started about 4 years ago, we went around and looked at places, and our first reaction, we thought the same way in some ways, is would we want to leave our dog here? We want to know that the people are spending time with our dog. We like the aspect with ours that it's an open kennel, so that it was basically like the dog was going to another home rather than going to Stalag 17.
Right.
We wanted to do that. We want to have it's important to have an area where the dogs are free to roam and get out and get lots of exercise, you know, and be able to move about. Basically, you want to know that the people care about the dog, that they're going to approach it, that this dog is like a member of their family coming to stay with you, and you need to treat it accordingly.
It's interesting. I don't know if you watch The Dog Whisperer, but I know that a lot of people watch Cesar Millan. He's
right,
The Dog Whisperer.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I've done dog rescue for many, many years. Mm-hmm. And the pack approach, I think, is critically important for dogs, especially during the socialization process. But even if you've had a dog that's never really been socialized, when you separate them, that is so out of character for how dogs see the world.
Yeah, exactly.
They have to
point.
Be in a pack. And so the environment that you create reminds me a lot of the environment that Cesar Millan, the Dog Whisperer, creates. And what we try and create at our house, too, when we bring in fosters, of this calm assertiveness, this environment that it doesn't, you know, you don't have to have all of these very specific and strained rules, like no getting on the couch, no doing that, so that everybody's crazy.
Right.
Everybody's allowed to be who they are, but there is a definite, you need to at least make an effort to socialize yourself with the pack.
Yeah.
And I've had people that said, my dog will never fit in that environment. They're the only dog at home. And, you know, we need to have somebody come to our house. When in reality, when you take that dog and you put him in a pack environment, tell us. I'm sure you've seen things happen.
We introduce them one at a time. And the thing to keep in mind there, too, is, as you say, they're very much like us. They're a companion species for human beings. But they, if you look at, you go back to the gray wolf, which is the great, 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 great grandmom or grandpa for all these dogs, they are in a group. And so what happens, they come and they're joining my pack and I'm the alpha dog.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think you create a great environment. So Mark's Pet Pals is the name.
Yep.
And how do they find your organization?
They can go to our website. It's, and they can just go to, I believe, www.markspetpals. The same thing with Mark's Pet Pals is on Facebook.
Excellent.
And we have pictures on there.
Excellent. So we'll make sure that we put that on Walk the Talk with Kim.
Okay.
And again, go to nightonadarktrail.weebly.com for information. And that event is on the 28th. And you're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. Again, don't forget, join us tomorrow at Girl Power Hour at the Bellevue Hyatt. and join us and 18 other of our closest friends for good times. There's going to be massages there, makeup, all kinds of really great fun stuff. And I'm going to be there. So just listen for my voice and you'll hear me. And thank you so much for joining us today on WalkTheTalkWithKim.com, sponsored by Pearson Law Firm. Expect expert representation and a kind, compassionate attitude. That is the Pearson Promise. Have a beautiful day, and thank you for listening. It's a beautiful